I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock providing a safe space for the independent thinkers out there. Today will be no exception. Next hour we'll get into my regular segments of False Flag Friday. Boy, we had had a former CIA guy come in and really kind of warn us of where we are headed. I got to tell you. This is a weird, weird time. My whole set of notes for today is just looking at the it's an absurd world we are living in. I mean, it doesn't even matter where you look, just about. I'm going to have to tap into my Zen side, my meditative, my everything is as it should be, that kind of thing. Very difficult in today's world, but we'll get to that and we'll finish up with this week on the crazy train. And I've got my finishing clip on there. I got to make sure I time that segment well today because I've got a story, really a laugh out loud story for the end of that. So anyway, we'll get to those things. My quotes of the day today before we get into the show. This is from Thomas Paine. He said, "A body of men holding themselves accountable to nobody ought not to be trusted by anybody. A body of men holding themselves accountable to nobody ought not to be trusted by anybody." Ramsey Clark said, "A right is not what someone gives you. It's what no one can take from you." Should I say that again? In this country, the land of the free? A right is not what somebody gives you. It's what no one can take from you. Those words did not have much impact in 2020. Hopefully people will start catching on and we will not allow a repeat of that year, but I am doubtful. James Madison, a quote from James Madison, said, "Armies and debts and taxes are the known instruments for bringing the many under the domination of the few." Armies and debts and taxes are the known instruments for bringing the many under the domination of the few. And then to kick off my show, this is a meme. And I want you to think about this and see if it's wrong. Because it's kind of stunning when you stop and think about this quote. And I like it, was drawn to it, noticed it because it's got the V for Vendetta Guy Fawkes mask on it. And here's what it says. And again, I ask you to find a where this is not right. This meme says, "We now live in a nation where doctors destroy health, lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom, the press destroys information, and our banks destroy the economy." We now live in a nation where doctors destroy health, lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom, the press destroys information, and our banks destroy the economy. I can't find anything in there that is not accurate. Yesterday, I wanted to touch on something. Yesterday, I talked about the national anthem and the Dallas Mavericks. The story was that the Mavericks have not been playing the national anthem, and Mark Cuban came out and said they would not be playing it going forward. The NBA came out and essentially ordered all teams to play the national anthem. I kind of weighed in on it as just with the question, you know, what is our fascination? What is our allegiance to having the national anthem played before sporting events where we don't have it played before birthday parties or weddings or cello concerts? You know, no other gathering, or not no other gathering, but most gatherings of people, we don't play the Star Spangled Banner. We do not do it before we start our day at work. And I just have kind of a question. I got a lot of response on that, which I assumed, because when you're on conservative radio, the idea of the national anthem and the flag and the Pledge of Allegiance is all very nationalistic and very patriotic. And I'm not an anti-anthem guy, but I found it just interesting with all the consternation about this, all of the outrage directed at Mark Cuban and the NBA. I mean, I guess you're supposed to be happy with the NBA now. They came in and ordered everybody to play the national anthem. But with all of the outrage, my most basic point was, I think we use our outrage on the simple things and don't really tackle the hard things. The best response I got by email was this. I said, but to answer the question, why are people upset? And this writer said, I think it's a matter of a almost 100-year-old tradition being lost to the left-wing agenda and the blatant overt attack and having it shoved in our face. Just one more victory handed to them, along with tearing down monuments, changing flags, closing churches, revising history, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No doubt the big issues are difficult to attack, but people are overwhelmed. And I think that's absolutely fantastic response. And I absolutely get it. All of the social justice warrior stuff from the corporations, from the sports teams, from everything else, just it is enough already. Absolutely. And I really do agree. I think that I am somebody who really cares so little for symbols of things. That doesn't make me anti-American flag. My positions are fairly nuanced. I can almost feel the jumping to conclusions when I say those things. But symbols to me are like political speeches. They really don't mean much. It's the substance that they represent that is so important. And I think we focus so much on the symbols themselves. I'm in the mood to just get in trouble today. I fully support people's right to burn the flag. I don't encourage people to burn the flag. I don't like seeing the flag burned. But I like living in a country where that's allowed. I would imagine in China, you cannot burn the flag. Now, they'll give you all kinds of reasons for that. You're nationalist and you're anti-state. You know, I mean, it's a horrible Chinese communist government over there that controls every aspect of the Chinese people's lives. We should we should understand what's taking place, because that's happening in our country right now. But it is the freedom behind the ability to not get in trouble from the government for burning a symbol of that government or of that country that I like. Again, I don't like burning the flag. I've never burned a flag. I don't want to see people burn a flag. I would hope people wouldn't want to burn the flag. But to me, the beauty is the freedom to do those kinds of things, to express yourself pretty much any way that you want to, as long as you're not harming another human being. But a lot of people get very upset about the idea. They think that flag burning should be illegal. They think you should go to prison for burning the flag, just like in China. Now, people in this country will give another reason for it. Well, it's disrespectful and all those. You know how many people fought and died for that flag? Absolutely. But they fought and died not for that piece of cloth, but for the freedom to be able to express yourself, the absolute freedom that the United States is supposed to guarantee, not for the symbol itself. In my mind, I see a lot of people getting wrapped up in the symbols. They get wrapped up in the speeches of a politician and don't pay attention to the actions of that politician. They want to hear the national anthem, but they don't really want, are not paying attention to the freedoms that that anthem is supposed to represent. The Soviet Union certainly played their national anthem quite often. That was their way to tell the poor victims of their communism that they're a cohesive people. I'm sure you were forced in the Soviet Union and probably now in communist China to stand for this thing. Real reverence. But ultimately, an anthem is just a song. It is meaningless to the quality of life of people under it. It is the ideals that the song is supposed to represent that are important. And I started thinking about it, actually, as I was reading through some of these emails. And look, everybody's point is taken. And what I loved about getting all the response that I got to me saying, who cares about the Dallas Mavericks playing the national anthem? Because people don't agree with me on that. And that's so fine. I know when I take an unpopular position. I criticized Trump on the air for the last 3 years. I'm fully aware of when I am not saying something that's popular. I'm just telling you and encouraging people to think about things from different angles. What I loved about the emails I got is nobody was screaming hysterically and calling me names. I don't know that anybody called the station to have me canceled or anything. They explained to me why they disagreed with me. It was really nice, and I respect everybody's opinion. But I got to thinking about it as I was reading through these, because a lot of it was the anthem is something that makes you feel cohesive. We play it before sporting events because we want to let the players know that at the end of the game, we're all in this together. Ultimately, we're all Americans. Same for the people in the crowd. That while we may be cheering for different teams or have disagreements or have different color skin, at the end of the day, we're all the same national. We're all Americans, right? And what that reminds me of right now is I see the draconian actions by our government, the taxation, the surveillance, the lockdowns, the mask mandates, the total loss of freedom, the debt, just the out-of-control nature of this mentally challenged leadership, air quotes in the studio around that word, that we have in this country. The idea that the national anthem is supposed to remind us that we're all Americans kind of reminds me these days of the slogan around COVID-19, which is we're all in this together. And what that has come out to represent with COVID is do what we say and we'll all get through this together. See, they say we're all in this together, but that's all. As soon as you don't wear a mask, or as soon as you question the vaccine, or as soon as you step out of line, they don't want anything to do with you. They want you canceled. They want you censored. But they put above this movement of accepting everything around COVID, we're all in this together. And to me, that's just some kind of a subtle propaganda to say, look, your responsibility is to other people. We're all just human beings trying to survive this plague. And it tells you to stand down. Don't demand an end to the lockdowns. We're going through the lockdowns too. We're all in this together. And the idea of the anthem at this point in our nation's history, I told one of the people who emailed me yesterday, if they end the federal income tax and quit picking our pockets and throwing our money down a black hole, I'll lead my show off with the national anthem. I may even sing it. I've got one horrible voice, but I'll embarrass myself. I'll do it every day. With the state that our nation is in right now, the idea that the anthem is supposed to bring us together to just accept what's happening, you know, well, we may have our disagreements, you know, but these guys are in control. We've elected them. So just remember that you're an American and stay within the American system and accept what they say is a lot like the COVID. We're all in this together. I want to see the freedoms that the national anthem represents restored to back when it actually meant something, when they said the land of the free and the home of the brave. We have never been less free. And when I see the people driving around in their cars, double masked up, and what they're doing to our children in the classrooms, I'll talk about that in just a second. We are certainly, certainly, certainly no longer the home of the brave. We are controlled and we are cowed people. So play your song if you want to, but I got to tell you, my attention will be focused on the substance behind that symbolism. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
I have to admit, I'm kind of in a weird mood today. Just watching the news, the ridiculous impeachment stuff. I talked about this yesterday. It's like we're being run by sixth graders. And they're corrupt sixth graders. I don't know. I'm sure there are kids. How old are you in sixth grade? 11, 12? Is that right? I don't know. Kids can be corrupted, obviously, but you don't see, like, you know, wholesale planning of corruption at the elementary school level. So it's something I've really never witnessed before. Now, they've been like this, but it seemed like they were more professional corrupt people, you know, adults. But maybe it's just as I get older, I realize, you know, I'm always looking. We're supposed to look to our elders for some level of wisdom, right? We teach people to respect their elders and take their sage advice. And there are certainly some of those people out there. My grandfather was one of those. But when I look around this country right now, I'm looking at this impeachment, which is just ridiculous. I look at the health authorities. There was a video that I saw this morning, a South Carolina school. And in order to get the kids back in school, they have they spent $5 million getting plexiglass screens up. And essentially what this is if you can imagine a bunch of desks facing the front of the room, they've got plexiglass on three sides of this desk, on the right, the left, and in the front. It's about 5 to 6 feet tall. And then there's this little desk down there in the middle of it. The kids can enter from the back of this thing. What it looked like to me was, I don't know if you've ever visited a prison. I had to go there on the, you know, talk to your buddy on the phone. But that's what it looked like. And the teacher was asking, this was a class, I mean, just to see this scene of essentially moving all of these children who are just not at risk of dying or becoming seriously ill from this disease any more than they are of a whole host of random diseases that they experience throughout their childhood. Some kids get cancer. I mean, and I just looked at that, and the teacher was at, and she said, how am I supposed to take a question in this classroom when a child is wearing a mask from behind this three-sided plexiglass stall that we're putting them into? And these are decisions made at the school board level, at the state government level in South Carolina. I don't know if anybody's experiencing that here in Mississippi. I don't have kids in K through 12 now. They're in college, where the colleges have equally lost their mind and refused to allow the students to be on campus. And if they dare congregate anywhere, some busybody Karen takes a video of them and complains to City Hall. Look at these kids. And I just find myself in this world looking around and saying, "What? Why am I listening to any of these people? And how are they having such a profound effect on my comings and goings, the decisions that I can make for my life?" The headline was that Joe Biden has ordered 200 million more doses of the big pharma jabs. With the idea of, I think he said, 600 million of these shots by summertime. 600 million doses of an experimental vaccine ready for the American people. And here's what I do that no other show will do. Another one of my little niches. I like to, when I see the taxpayer really step up and fund something that you don't even really know is coming out of your pocket, I like to thank you. And so on behalf of all the big pharmaceutical companies and everybody else who is at the trough of this endless taxpayer dollars for this experimental trial vaccine run where they turned the American people into guinea pigs, I want to thank you, the American taxpayer, for funding this, because people aren't paying for this vaccine. I don't even think the insurance companies are paying for this vaccine. This is all from the federal government. So those of us out here who don't want the vaccine, we still get to pay for it. 600 million doses of an experimental vaccine that has been in people's bodies for about 3.5 months. Kim Wade last night just went off on these shots. It's quite entertaining and very, very interesting. He had a theory. He played a clip of some CIA folks that had, you know, they had identified some genes in people and they were going to They had a vaccine for fundamentalists. Of course, they did this research within the context of fighting the Middle East, right? They want to get those radical jihadists. Golly, us libertarians have been warning you about this fetish you had with exterminating radical jihadists. This idea that they gave you this boogeyman and got you to fork over trillions of dollars to fight this boogeyman halfway around the world. And what Kim Wade's theory was, well, look, they've got this. I mean, he was playing a legitimate, I've played this clip before. This was a guy presenting to the U.S. military saying, we think we can vaccinate these radical jihadists. We've identified their religious gene, and we think we can turn it off. And Kim was saying, you know what? Wonder what's going on with this vaccine. And he's right. They have the technology. I don't know if that's the overall thing, if this is a slow kill weapon, or if it's the greatest breakthrough in modern medical science in the history of our country. I don't know. But neither do you. Because nobody does, since this is an experimental vaccine. And so I'm in this weird mood because I've found myself at times in the past couple of days, and you know, our moods go up and down, and sometimes your personal life, I don't know. It just kind of, some days I just laugh at this stuff. But I have found myself in the past couple of days watching what's going on with my mouth literally hanging open. And I hate the overuse of the word literally, but I mean literally. I will be staring at my computer screen or listening to the news, and my jaw will literally drop. It will come open where I just go, oh my God, what are we doing? I see these lines of people for a vaccine, and I read the headlines. I hear these experts. Now, they're deplatformed, and they're marginalized, and they're called kooks. The only thing is, I look at their credentials and say, oh, this guy's got 30 years of experience at Yale Medical School in infectious diseases, and he says this vaccine could cause this or that. But nobody listens to him. And then I see Joe Biden's going to buy 600 million doses of this experimental vaccine, and I see people lining up for this thing. And then I see stories like this. A 37-year-old orthopedic surgeon in Memphis died on February 8th after getting the vaccine. It's not in the national news. It was actually on the Daily Memphian, but it's one of our neighbors here, a young orthopedic surgeon with Ortho South who died Monday, February 8th. Maybe the nation's first case of an adult who died of delayed immune response to COVID and had received the vaccine. Now, I'll tell you how I interpret this story, because what they go on to say is that, you know, they're comparing this to the reaction that children have, this inflammatory condition that some children have suffered and they've blamed on COVID. And they're saying this is the first adult we've seen this in. And the strange thing is he's tested negative several times, so they don't understand how he had this inflammatory response to what was obviously a prior infection with COVID. They're just, everybody's scratching their head. And it seems to me this whole article just dances completely around the idea that they have already done studies with ferrets that I brought up on the show quite often, where when they got the vaccine and then were exposed to the wild virus, they had this kind of inflammatory immune response and the ferrets died. I don't know if that's what happened to this guy, but I know he wasn't hit by a bus. He was a healthy 37-year-old orthopedic surgeon who got the vaccine, had a reaction to what they're saying is COVID, although he never tested positive for COVID, but he had the antibodies. And isn't that what the vaccine's supposed to create, the antibodies? So he's tested negative for COVID over and over and over. He's an orthopedic surgeon. How often are they tested? He's tested negative for COVID over. He gets the vaccine. He dies. They test his blood to see what's going on, and they find the COVID antibodies in there, and they say, oh, he must have had COVID before, and now he's having a reaction to it. Has nothing to do with the vaccine, of course. It is like jumping over the most obvious thing all through the story about this guy. They're just jumping over the vaccine. The vaccine is just a side issue. He got vaccinated, but he still had this reaction to COVID. They act like the vaccine never could have caused this. I mean, I am just left stunned by what we are seeing in our society right now. And again, you know, as I say, I'm human. We all go through different moods. Most days I like to laugh at this stuff, just about it. It's so patently absurd. But I guess it's just whether it's the spending. There's a new report out now where we've already are looking at, for this year, $2.3 trillion in new debt, and that does not include the $1.9 trillion stimulus. We've got sixth graders in charge. Corrupt sixth graders are running Congress, running our government. We used to at least have corrupt corporatist adults. Now we've just got corrupt six-year-olds running things. I mean, you ask a six-year-old child to balance a checkbook? No. He just goes into the store and starts picking out what he wants. No consequence for the cost of it or the fact that if he buys all that stuff right then, he might not be able to have what he wants in another month. You know what I mean? There's no thinking there. You set a six-year-old loose in a store and say, go get what you want. That's how we're running our government right now. We've got sixth graders running our education system, putting our kids in these plexiglass cocoons. That's not a good enough word for it. Stalls like cattle. Scaring the crap out of these children. Thinking that they always need a piece of solid barrier between them and any other human being for a disease that they have more chance of getting killed in a car accident on the way to school than being killed by this disease. And then there's the impeachment, where they are just flailing about in a show trial that is like a sixth grade production for the school. The people who support these people are like the adoring parents who know that the singing is atrocious and the acting is terrible, but they just think it's so cute because it's their kids. And these people are running the show, and I'm supposed to stand down. I'm supposed to wait for my next order. One mask, two mask. Wait for my next tax rate. What will the people in Congress decide they get to take out of my next check? I'm supposed to ignore all of the deaths around this vaccine while I see my fellow human beings. And ultimately what it comes down to, since such a large portion of the population appears to be going along with this, I can only assume that we are ruled by stupid people because for the most part, we are a stupid society. They say you get the government that you deserve. And the thing is this runs up and down the chain. Look, I'm kind of on the idea of we need to get our local house in charge. And I've got a story about what the Senate did yesterday that we were talking about yesterday when Americans for Prosperity were here. They did what they do, corrupt corporate crap. Most Americans, I mean, Mississippians don't know anything about it. But it just doesn't even matter the level. The state legislature, the local governments, the federal government, the school boards, it just doesn't matter. You cannot turn and find a level of sanity just about anywhere. I guess I need to try to detox. I need to take a break and start looking at Ron DeSantis news. I mean, he at least set Florida free. Their state is blossoming at the time that everybody else is cratering. So maybe I just need to try to cleanse my mental palate with the few bright spots of adults in this world right now. It's not Anthony Fauci. It's not Thomas Dobbs. It's not Joe Biden. It's not Mitch McConnell. It's not the school boards that are going through all of these hurdles with these kids. So I need to find some kind of common sense palate, mental palate cleanser. Because I got to tell you, I am... What was the movie with Michael Douglas falling down where he had just had enough? I feel a little on that edge today. Let me take a break, see if I can regain my composure. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. I probably shouldn't be doing, it's if you have a couple of drinks, you shouldn't be driving a car. I think I've consumed too much news, or just, I've picked the wrong news stories today, the past couple of days. I'm in a spot where I'm just looking around, just thinking, oh my God. I mean, it just doesn't matter where you turn right now. You know, here's the thing. There are philosophies to get through life. I'm a big kind of philosophy guy. I study mindfulness, meditate, things like that. Very, very, very helpful. It may sound woo-woo to a lot of particularly you dudes out there, but it is very good to calm your mind down. Funny, you know, now that I think about it, I don't think I've done that in a couple of days. Maybe that's my problem. But I'm in a weird, weird headspace. So we were talking yesterday to Americans for Prosperity. They were in. We're looking at bills coming through the Senate. We were discussing this SB, I think it was 2675, something like that. So the Senate, in their infinite wisdom here in Mississippi, has authored a new kind of parallel bill to the medical marijuana thing. Now, whether you were for that or against it, I hope we can all agree that the people of Mississippi voted on something, and now the politicians are trying to get in there and carve some crap out for their cronies. And that's exactly what they did. Apparently it failed on the first attempt, but at around midnight last night, they passed this thing. And we talked about it on the show yesterday with Nate Baker from Americans for Prosperity. What this does is it puts huge fees to enter, growing medical marijuana or getting a license, like $100,000, tens of thousands of dollars a year in new fees. And what this does is it basically says, hey, if you've got a lot of money, you can come into Mississippi and corner the market, because we're going to keep a bunch of the poor, ordinary people out of this business. Now, I don't really care what you think about. Just put your own industry into it. Barbershops. Shouldn't somebody be allowed, if they can cut hair, to open up a barbershop without a bunch of hurdles in front of them? I mean, really. So just imagine that they passed legislation last night and said, well, yeah, right now we've got some laws on the books for barbershops, but we've decided we're going to do a companion bill to that, to where anybody who wants to have a barbershop's got to pay the state $100,000 first. I would imagine we would be smart enough to figure out, that's not a great idea. Now, this has got to go through the House. We'll see if it happens. But it is the corruption and the idiocy that is ruling over all of us that has got me in this mood today. I can take very little more. I think that was introduced by a Republican, by the way. I'm going to find out. I'm going to name and shame on this show the people who are trying to thwart the will of the people of Mississippi. They tell you they're for you. I'll bet you what I really need to do is find out who sponsored this bill and co-sponsored this bill, and then try to see if I can find any of their political speeches where they talk about how they want to make Mississippi ripe for business and free markets and freedom, and they're for the little guy, because it'll be in all the speeches. See if I can find them at Neshoba County, telling you how they love the average Mississippian, how they're on your side. Because they've said it. You know, I'll find their campaign page, you know, where they talk about small, limited government, these Republicans who just sponsored a bill where they took small, limited government, flipped it on its head, pulled its pants down, and imposed some big fines to make sure that only the biggest players can come into Mississippi and capitalize on this industry. And then maybe we'll find out where the money came to convince them to do this, because it's there. I can guarantee you of that. Somebody is paying these corrupt pieces of human refuse to go in and alter. Plus, it just muddies the whole thing. And I got to tell you, I don't care what your stance on medical marijuana is. I will debate you on it. I'll shake your hand when you come in. I'll shake your hand when you leave, even if we leave without changing minds. I know a lot of people that still don't want medical marijuana in this state. That's fine. I don't. We've got a difference of opinion. I still love you. But the people voted on this thing, and there are people out there that I know personally who would really benefit from this. It's not even just a business issue. And this companion, this new parallel system that the Senate is trying to set up, God, I wish I had that guy's name in front of me. It will end up muddying the water. And there are people out there right now, little children suffering from seizures every day, maybe 30 seizures a day, that could benefit from this bill. They're just going to have to wait a little bit longer. Just a few more weeks or a few more months or a few more years of daily seizures. And then the legislature will get it hammered out. I mean, the 65 that passed overwhelmingly, that's pretty much ready to go. By fall this year, you could have licenses and places open, and those children having seizures or the older person that's got MS or Parkinson's, they could have had some relief in maybe September or October. But who cares about them? They'll get some relief maybe in 2022, maybe in 2023. We'll take it through the courts. Maybe Mary Hawkins can strike the whole thing down all by herself. Hundreds of thousands of Mississippians voted to allow medical marijuana. Hundreds of thousands of people in Mississippi. Actually, I think it's like 110,000 people they'd identified that have the pre-existing conditions that would qualify them for a medical marijuana card. They could all be helped this fall, but maybe Mary Hawkins Butler can change that all by her lonesome. The hundreds of thousands of Mississippians who voted for it, and Mary Hawkins Butler, in her infinite wisdom, says, no, no, I know better than you. Hundreds of thousands of Mississippians have voted for this. I know better. I'm going to protect you from yourselves. That's what politicians do. They protect you from yourself. That's why you're wearing a stupid mask in the store, because you're too stupid to protect yourself. That's what they think. And I got to tell you, they've got a great basis for thinking we're too stupid to run our own lives. Because if we will support this political structure that we have in this country right now, if we will support lockdown, if we will support masking 3-year-old children, if we will support all of the measures we've seen, if we will support the spending that we're seeing, if we will support all of these things, we are too stupid. This is really like, you know, there's a lot of cons that go around to senior citizens, right? You got to protect your... Yeah, keep an eye on the books with your grandparents when they get really old, because they are ripe to be defrauded, right? They're just mentally, they're just not there where they used to be. So they might get hoodwinked and tricked into investing in a Ponzi scheme or sending money to Nigeria. And so you keep an eye on them. You know what we are? We're all demented old fools. We're all obviously subject to being duped at a moment's notice, and it's happening every day. And so these politicians know that. They are the Nigerian prince, who know that they can just trick everybody into doing whatever we want, because we are too stupid to figure this stuff out.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
This seems like an appropriate place to recite the, what's the, Serenity Prayer? to accept the things that I cannot change, change the things that I can. And so my problem is I don't know where that line is. You know, I feel like if you come, you know, I've got a radio show. What I do is present different ideas to you. I try to do it different than every other show you hear. Number one, I'm a libertarian, so I'm this radical freedom fighter. I don't like Republicans stripping me of my rights any more than I like Democrats stripping me of my rights. So that makes me a little unique. So I present ideas here that you're not going to hear anywhere else. I'm anti-war. I'm anti-drug war. I'm anti-war on poverty. If the federal government says they've got a war on it, I'm against it. Just automatically. Unless somebody attacks our country, and then it's on like Donkey Kong. And so I don't know what change you can affect. And so I think within the Serenity Prayer to, you know, courage to change the things I can, accepting the things I can't change, and the wisdom to know the difference. My mind is scrambled right now. I can't recite it verbatim. But you know what I mean? It's the wisdom to know the difference. I think that's where I'm lost today. I don't know what you can change at this point. I know the minds of the American people have got to be changed. I know that parents have got to walk into that South Carolina classroom I was describing earlier where they've got the kids corralled in on three sides with 6 feet of plexiglass. It looks like they're going into feeding troughs or prison visiting rooms. I know the parents have got to see that and they've got to demand that that crap be taken down. They've got to understand that their children are not at risk of dying. At most, they're going to get what appears to be like the flu every other year. I know those parents have got to do that. I have no faith that they will. They will not. Nobody wants to speak up. Everybody wants to toe the line. I criticize Trump. I know a lot of people know some of the things he did was wrong, but you didn't dare say it. We don't dare speak up. I've got a sticker on my car. I can't talk against him. I've thrown in with him. Same with you Biden people. I've got stories here about Biden. I'm not going to get to today because I'm just pontificating about my mood. Stimulating radio, I'm sure. It's just I'm confused today. I don't know. I need a break. It is lucky we've got the weekend. I was looking at my notes before I came back on right now, and I thought, well, let me see where I'm going to get into a better mood in the show. And I realized, well, the next 30 minutes isn't going to do it because that's my False Flag Friday segment. I do have some stuff we can laugh at in this week on the Crazy Train at the end of the show. I guess I'll have a smile on my face. I've got a killer clip at the very end of that. You will get a kick out of there was a challenge coin issued that police, a couple of years ago, I think it was, that police were exchanging when they were facing off with some of the ridiculous protests and rioters. A couple of years ago, they had a challenge coin. You're going to crack up when you hear what was on this coin. So I'm going to leave the show smiling today. Head out into the world. I'm going to have to just take off my view of the world and our so-called leadership. I'm going to have to take it like a dirty, smelly, wet overcoat and just take it off and drop it and then head off into the world and try to live to fight another day on Monday. We are in some serious trouble here. People have got to regain their senses or we are finished. And it is in just about every aspect of our lives right now. People are either asleep or they just have lost the ability to have any level of discernment for themselves.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. But you know, there's occasionally times where I have to take a personal day off. I don't typically have a show replacement, and so there are times we will run what I will refer to as the best with Mike Madison. I might have to do a rerun. So I'm always kind of looking for shows that I think might be worth playing at another time and identifying those and using them. Today's show will not be one of those. However, if you want to share with your friends the guy who was having basically a mental breakdown on the radio out of his frustration of the world we're living in, You can get my podcast by going to WIAB.com, scrolling down, seeing my show page, and it will take you to my podcast, which is The Mike Madison Show at podbean.com. You can share this with your friends and go, listen to this nut job. He can't handle the world anymore. He's breaking apart. I don't think I've ever been so happy in a news cycle to see a weekend coming. I got to tell you, I need some kind of mental floss, something. I don't know what it is. I need to play chess in the park with an old man or something. I don't know what it is, because this next segment's not going to make me feel any better. On Fridays, I do this segment, False Flag Friday. I am your only consistent anti-war guy on radio. The left used to kind of like be against war, and then Barack Obama taught them that wars and bombing people halfway around the world that never did anything to us was cool. And so now the liberals love their wars. Republicans, Trump woke up a lot of Republicans about these endless wars. And so, you know, people don't like to just go off and change their mind on their own. They want somebody to convince, to let them know it's okay, because most of us are cowards. So Trump woke a lot of people up and said, yeah, we have been doing these wars for 20 years. He made it cool to be against the wars, except if it's against Venezuela or North Korea or China or Iran. Those will be the great wars, they think. I'm the only person on radio that is just consistently, if a country does not attack us, we leave them the hell alone. So I do this segment, False Flag Friday, to try to convince people, to show you how we've been lied into so many wars and endless conflicts, and the fact that the war profiteers are the ones that are benefiting, not the American people. Not for, what, 75 years has there been a war that America should have been involved in. Along those lines, I am well known to be the libertarian guy here at WIAB. Well, hell, I'm the libertarian guy in central Mississippi. Hell, I may be the only libertarian guy on the radio in all of Mississippi, maybe the Southeast, I don't know. But one of the things I like about libertarians is that they can see where things are headed. They can see a policy rolled out and say, let's think about that for just a friggin' nanosecond of where that's going to go. And while the right, the left accepted it, and the right embraced the war on terror with both hands, libertarians were on the sidelines going, I got to tell you, this could not turn out well. Given all this power to the government, giving them secret courts, giving them the ability to assassinate them. Barack Obama was assassinating Americans with a drone. Another clip about that in a little while. But you loved it because it was those people halfway around the world, and you didn't like their religion, and you thought they were coming to take your stuff. And libertarians were saying, I got to tell you, be careful. Careful what you wish for. Well, this is, and again, I don't know if it's obnoxious the way I do this or not. Kind of just laying it all out there today on today's show, aren't I? It may be obnoxious. I don't know if it challenges people. I don't know if it makes people mad. But you've been cheering for these trillion-dollar defense budgets, national security budgets for years and years. Trump would go around saying, we've got the highest defense budgets in the history of them. Oh, the crowds would go crazy. So you've been funding things like the CIA and following Sean Hannity, who wears the two CIA lapel pins every night. Well, here's what the CIA has in store for you now with all that taxpayer cash you gave them.
NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Elsa Chang.
And I'm Mary Louise Kelly. Robert Grenier.
Maybe I should listen to NPR. When I get off here, maybe I should. I don't ever listen to NPR because they're just absolutely horrible as an organization. But their calm, dulcet tones, it's very relaxing, very soothing. It's got to be put out from the top of NPR. If you talk like this, the American people will accept anything. Maybe I just need to calm down with NPR later. But anyway, this is NPR talking to one of our CIA, one of the spooks, to take a look at this new domestic terrorism, the domestic terrorism label that the libertarians have been warning you about for the past 20 years as you got all excited about giving government all these tools to fight terrorism, no holds barred. You even cheered for torture. Well, that torture probably is not far behind what this guy's going to tell you about now. Now they have a domestic war on terror, the exact one libertarians have been warning you about, and here it goes.
Has thoughts on how to defeat violent extremists here in the U.S.
And he
grounds them in his personal experience fighting violent extremists overseas.
Oh, look at that. All this taxpayer dollars got him some good experience on how to fight terrorists. You are just a few weeks probably away, and one false flag attack away. for you American patriots out there, and I consider myself one too, so I'll say we are just probably a few weeks away from being called insurgents. Right now, it's just domestic extremists, domestic terrorists. Soon it will be, if you ever dared to fight back, it would be insurgents. That word is coming for you too.
Ye is a former CIA counterterrorism chief. He was the CIA's station chief in Pakistan on 9/11. Grenier believes we may be witnessing the dawn of a sustained wave of violent insurgency within our own...
There it is, insurgency within our own country.
Country, and he believes counterinsurgency tactics that worked abroad could work here. Robert.
Now, before this guy talks, I want to remind you that you've been paying his salary his entire career, and this is what it has created.
Robert Grenier, welcome. Good to speak with you.
Well, good to be on with you, Mary Louise.
I want to start by understanding how you see the problem. As you watched events unfold at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, what did you see?
Well, I don't think we knew precisely what to make of it at first. Initially, it seemed as though these were a group of angry citizens who'd been fired up by the president and who went marching off to the Capitol. Subsequently, what I think we saw was that disproportionately represented among them were a number of individuals from violent extremist groups.
Oh,
and
there you
were taking it.
See, you don't have to have any proof of that. You just say it. You just designate it. See, this is like terrorists, right? See, our government has spent the last, 100 years, but certainly in the last 20, if you've been paying attention, just finding groups and labeling them terrorists. You don't like the Houthis in Yemen? Label them a terrorist group. You don't like Hezbollah? Label them a terrorist group. Now, do these people use terror tactics? Of course they do. They are insurgencies. They are engaged in guerrilla warfare. Do I like these groups? Absolutely not. But you see, we've given the government the power to just name it. You just pick out a group, call them a terrorist, and now there are no rules of engagement. They can spy on you. They can track. They can trace you. They can pull up in a van, throw you in the back, and not let you have a phone call, not have to present you with any charges, and not have to give you due process and in front of a judge. They can ship you to Guantanamo. Now, you've been happy about Guantanamo for the last 20 years because you thought it was just for those brown people. Ultimately, it will not be just for the brown people.
Advantage of the situation in order to do what they might otherwise have wanted to do in any case, and that was to upset the constitutional order.
Oh, there you go. So this is your CIA that you have been cheering for their funding and so excited about. And now they are turning this war on terror inwards on you, as libertarians have been warning you about for 20 years. Trump needs to label Antifa a domestic terror organization. Well, look, they are terrorists, but there's laws to stop bombings and lootings and violence against other people that are already on the books. You don't need to label them a domestic terrorist group. You didn't get that, but you're going to have that tactic thrown at you now. Here he continues. This is, again, your fully taxpayer-paid CIA creation from your government. This is a guy that was created and honed his skills with the war on terror that is now ready to give his wise counsel on how to use those skills against his own countrymen.
One more thing I'm curious about, given your CIA experience. I mentioned you were station chief in Islamabad on 9/11, which meant it suddenly became your problem to find and kill or capture Osama bin Laden and other senior al-Qaeda leaders. Without comparing American citizens to al-Qaeda.
Without comparing them to al-Qaeda, I'm going to ask you a question that really makes them like al-Qaeda.
Are there lessons that you take from that?
Yes, and that is that, you know, even at the seeming height of the crisis immediately after 9/11, there really weren't that many members of al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. And the thrust of our campaign there was, yes, to hunt down al-Qaeda, but primarily to remove the supportive environment in which they were able to flourish. And that meant fighting Taliban. And I think that is the heart of what we need to deal with here. Hunting down people who are who are criminals. That is something that which U.S. law enforcement is very well capable of doing, and doing while preserving fundamental civil rights. Mm-hmm. That's in some ways the easiest part of the problem. The difficult part of the problem is affecting the environment within which violent elements otherwise would be able to thrive.
Yeah. So the guy who honed his skills fighting those brown people halfway around the world, he's learned a lot, and he's going to bring those tools home. And this is going on across the board. This was just a particularly egregious example of it. I've got a Nicole Wallace clip. I'll probably play that in this week on the crazy train. So how does this fit into False Flag Friday? Well, just wait. They already created one event at the nation's capital. Now, a lot of people fell for it. I'm sure there were instigators and provocateurs in that crowd, but it wasn't all of them. Some Trump supporters got, and I've said it over and over again, I probably would have gotten swept up in that. As angry as I am at our federal government, I would imagine I would have been duped into going in there, and I don't know, I would have damaged stuff. That's really not my MO. But I probably would have gotten in there and felt a little bit of rush of power of getting in there. But that, you were duped. You were led by this government, largely, into this action, and now that sets them up to do more actions. We are just one incident away from a kind of crackdown and covert war against American citizens. One incident away. Just one. And we need to be on guard for it. I'll certainly be covering it here. When I come back, I've got one other thing. New boss, same as the old boss. Joe Biden's announced a policy that he will pursue that is a continuation of a terrible Trump policy. Be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
I've spent probably the last 3 years telling people, don't get onto Twitter and Facebook and social media and start screaming at strangers. It does not convince them of anything. You don't change any mind. You actually make them more resolute in their positions because you came across as a jerk. And I don't care which side you're on, and whether you're screaming at a Trump supporter or screaming at a Democrat, it doesn't matter. And now I'm kind of doing the same thing. I'm being hypocritical because I'm really challenging the Republicans voters who have been supporting and encouraging all this endless military spending to build the great American empire that we can't afford. It's bankrupting us. But in particular, because you've been funding this machine that is now being turned on you. And maybe it is not effective. I don't know if it's effective for me to try to point this out consistently. And I would feel a little bit better if I hadn't probably seen an article this morning talking about Nikki Haley is really weighing how she's going to proceed because she's such a strong contender for 2024. Nikki Haley is a warmongering neocon, and the Republicans are right back in love with her. Again, one of Trump's maybe the greatest thing Donald Trump did for this country was wake up a bunch of conservatives and Republicans to start opposing these endless wars. Finally, after 15 years, he got people to understand it was bankrupting us and we had no business halfway around the world. So you embrace that when it comes out of Donald Trump's mouth, but seriously, you're going to pivot to Nikki Haley or Tom Cotton now, a couple of warmongers? And so I'm not using probably the best strategy. I should be stroking your hair and telling you how smart you are, that, and then just kind of slipping in, well, what do you think about Nikki Haley? And then we have a conversation. And I say, well, did you ever stop and think that, you know, she really was trying to provoke a lot of wars at the UN? You know, that's how I should do it. I don't have the patience for it today. I'm in a bad mood. So, other story I've got today for False Flag Friday is the new boss, same as the old boss. Joe Biden is, you know, trying to negate so much of the Trump administration with all of his endless executive orders. The guy's probably got carpal tunnel syndrome from all of the executive orders he's been signing. But he's keeping one of Trump's policies in place, and that is the pursuit of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. Despite the U.S. losing its push in a London court for the U.K. to extradite him in a ruling early last month on grounds he would likely be subject to cruel punishment, the U.S. government now has until February 12th deadline to submit its, quote, grounds for appeal. It has now been confirmed that the Biden administration intends to do just that. Quote, we continue to seek his extradition, said Justice Department spokesman Mark Raimondi. This is exactly what Julian Assange's legal team and supporters feared. Washington plans to drag this out as long as possible, leaving him to languish in a Belmarsh prison tied up in the seemingly endless legal process. Now, this does not surprise me a bit, because Julian Assange published things that were extremely embarrassing to the Democrats. And so Joe Biden's going to continue to do this because Joe Biden is a neocon, warmongering, corrupt government, senile, inept tool of the deep state and everybody who Julian Assange might have ever exposed had he been allowed to do his work. But I will not leave this unsaid. Donald Trump started this prosecution, persecution, and slow kill of Julian Assange at the behest probably of Mike Pompeo. Julian Assange, after charges were dropped against him in Sweden and he was holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, it was the Trump administration that sent the stormtroopers in there to drag him out and take him to a prison awaiting extradition to the U.S. And all you Trump supporters told me, he's just going to get Assange back here to blow the whistle on the deep state and break it all apart. And I said, well, that's interesting. Then why is Julian Assange fighting the extradition? Well, you told me to just trust it. Just wait. It's going to happen. It didn't happen. And at the last moment, when Trump could have at least stopped doing this evil thing to this one guy who was effective in exposing corruption, when Trump could have at least reversed that, as bad as it was that he persecuted Julian Assange for several years, slow killing him in a prison, he whiffed. He walked away. He left Julian Assange rotting in a prison. So last night I'm reading this article that the Biden administration is going to continue this persecution of Julian Assange. And while I am watching this, a commercial comes up on television asking for people to pledge their support to Donald Trump in this ridiculous impeachment trial. It was people appealing for you to give money to Donald Trump to help him out at a time where he is just the victim of what is just a sixth grade theater production show trial with no consequence to Donald Trump's future or his freedom. Number one, he's not going to be convicted in the Senate. Number two, there is no risk of him being imprisoned or anything like that. But it just struck me as odd that you had somebody on television asking the viewer, this was on Fox News, to call up and voice your support for Donald Trump and the impeachment. Of course, they never say they want money, but as soon as they get you on the line, they say, hey, would you chip in $5, $10? And I thought, well, that's a hell of a thing. Let me get this straight. Donald Trump can instigate this persecution of Julian Assange, slow kill him in a prison, not pardon him on the way out, but he thinks we should send him money because he's facing this ridiculous show trial that doesn't even threaten his freedom or anything to do with his future because he's not going to be convicted. Okay, I've got it. I got to tell you, that hit me at a kind of a sore spot at the time I was reading that Assange is still rotting in a prison. So this is where we are. But one final thing now, just to let you know, with the neocons, the likes of Mike Pompeo, Nikki Haley, Tom Cotton, and Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and the Democrats in particular with their demonization of Russia. Just to let you know, Russia, China, and Iran just held huge joint naval drills in the Indian Ocean. So all of our meddling and our bossing and our sanctions and our attacks on these other countries has just forced them all together. So now if you want to go to war with China, you're going to get China, Russia, and Iran, which means Israel will certainly be at the receiving end, as will all of the other shipping lanes because you've drug Iran into it by targeting them too. This is what the neocons have created. Alliances of relatively powerful countries We've spent the last 20 years, really the last 100 years. We overthrew the government of Iran back in 1953. People don't like to talk about that. They like to think that Iran is always the aggressor and always the bad guy. No, we overthrew their democratically elected president, who was a very westernized guy. I think he was educated in Great Britain. And we overthrew him because he wouldn't let oil companies get in and get Iranian oil. So we overthrew him back in 1953. But we've been demonizing all these countries. You've allowed these neocons in both parties to tell you that these are all boogeymen. They're all coming to take your stuff, and particularly the Democrats with their Russia hysteria, sanctions and military exercises everywhere, using all those big budgets that Republicans love to give the Defense Department. And now you've created this super group of countries. We've spent the last 20 years targeting countries like Yemen, the poorest country in the Middle East, or Iraq, or Afghanistan. They're basically third world countries over there. We rebelized Libya and Syria. Well, now we finally have created an atmosphere where we've got three of the biggest militaries on planet Earth all joining forces, and for only one reason, and that is to oppose the American neocon. Congratulations.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB, and we're finishing up the week with This Week on the Crazy Train, as we do every week, because this is my easiest segment of the week to fill.
All aboard!
So I have started segmenting this show into different areas because we've gone crazy in a whole host of areas. Doesn't matter if it's political, Democrats, Republicans, it doesn't matter what it is. We'll start with COVID now. I was not familiar with all of my media viewing and everything that I do in preparation for the show. I was not aware of the new symptom of the shot. Apparently, it's kind of like the endless stimulus spending. Now they've got STEMI. Well, we've got some things that they're going to tell you are just normal when you get the shot.
Though the COVID-19 vaccine has been proven to be safe and effective, doctors warn there's...
I love that. I got to tell you, I got to stop that clip. Though the vaccine has been proven to be safe and effective, it has been in the human being for 3.5 months. So if you go up and you ask any immunologist, as I say, I'm a nobody. I got no credentials. But go up and ask a virologist or an immunologist or a vaccinologist or a doctor or a surgeon or a therapist or a biologist or a chemist and say, what does this vaccine do to you after 2 years? If they give you an answer, point at them and go, liar, because they have no idea. Now, for the other vaccines they've studied for 5 years, they could tell you what happens after 2 years, after 3 years, after 4 years, and after 5 years. But with this, there have been no long-term trials. So you got to just love the propaganda they start this off with. Let's say one more time. It's so juicy. It's been proven to be safe and effective.
Though the COVID-19 vaccine has been proven to be safe and effective, doctors warn there still can be uncomfortable temporary side effects.
However, one effect of the vaccine that seems to be cropping up recently is known as COVID arm.
The COVID-19 vaccine is leaving some people with what's being called COVID arm, huge swelling around the injection site that might be painful to the touch.
Being dubbed COVID arm.
Online, it's being called COVID arm.
Today, I spoke to a local doctor about COVID arm and what he says about getting your second dose.
First-hand accounts of what's being called COVID arm.
Have you heard of COVID arm? It's a side effect that seems to be affecting some people, particularly women who've gotten the vaccine.
Exactly 1 week later, her arm started to itch.
It was just red and angry and had hives. Like, you could feel the bumps.
I'm feeling a little leery, but pretty good about getting the second shot.
Oh, yeah.
Seen some blogs where people are saying, oh, it's the Bill Gates microchip and all that. It's like, no, stop that. This is a virus that none of us have ever experienced, and our bodies respond to it, you know, in various ways. And this is just one of the responses.
Yeah, they should have given it a much cooler name. COVID arm, I got to say, is a little lazy as a moniker. They should have given it something snappy. I don't know. I'll take, give it something that seems cool. You know what I mean? Like, I can't even think right now, but they should have given it something pithy so that people would actually want, hey, did you get the side effect? I got the side effect. Cool, man. You got the COVID arm? Oh, man, I didn't even get the COVID arm. I mean, we've already got people lining up for an experimental vaccine. I would imagine we could probably convince them to be really excited about a side effect, too. CNN got all excited with the impeachment that actually their coverage, this is the media these days. What they do is they report something that is probably completely false or twisted or slanted or whatever. They report it, and then the politicians holding an impeachment trial use that reporting somehow as evidence. And Jake Tapper got very excited that CNN was part of the impeachment trial.
A lot of CNN reporting was in that presentation. CNN reporters talking to Trump supporters, Anderson, finding out what they think. Is there any way that if Donald Trump loses, it's legitimate? And they say no. This was CNN reporting. John Kelly, former White House chief of staff, saying Donald Trump told his producer supporters what to do, and they did it. All right there, all reported by CNN. Anderson?
Oh, look at that. See, he's so excited. Did you see? They're using our stuff, man. Here is Nicole Wallace talking about the domestic terrorism program. Boy, she is an especially objectionable human being. This is Nicole Wallace from MSNBC. And listen to what she wants to be done on U.S. soil to these domestic terrorists they've uncovered.
And again, this is not us saying so, John Hyland. That is a bulletin released to all law enforcement earlier this week that there is, until the end of April, a persistent threat of domestic extremism, domestic terrorism carried out in the ideology and around this belief that the election was fraudulent, that the COVID restrictions are unnecessary. All of those ideologies pushed by Donald Trump. But my question...
So what do we do about it, Nicole Wallace? What tools do we have at our disposal to take care of these domestic terrorists?
For you is around incitement. We had a policy, and it was very controversial. It was carried out under the Bush years and under the Obama years of attacking terrorism at its root, of going after and killing... And in the case of Amar al-Awlaki, an American, a Yemeni American, with a drone strike for the crime of inciting violence, inciting terrorism.
So there you go. Nicole Wallace, MSNBC, wants to get to the bottom of it. She wants one of her experts to weigh in. Should we be using drones to kill Donald Trump for inciting violence and any of his followers who carry his crazy ideas along with them? This is being discussed on mainstream media of whether or not we should start droning American citizens for their political beliefs. Biden and the Democrats. Here we go. Another segment of this. This one is just, I've laughed about this a little bit. Joe Biden did a halftime interview or something. I don't know. I was paying so little attention to the Super Bowl and particularly the halftime show. I think they interviewed him pregame and in the middle of the show. This kind of falls into my national anthem. Do we really need to hear from the president of the United States during the Super Bowl? I mean, seriously, I don't care if it's Trump or Biden or Obama or Bush or anybody. If it was Ron Paul, President Ron Paul, I still wouldn't want to hear from him during the Super Bowl, as much as I like the guy. Just leave us alone for a day. Joe Biden did an interview. This is either pregame or halftime interview. And I got to tell you, this is the crazy world we live in.
New tonight, President Biden also discussed his son, Hunter.
You know, I'll bet there's not a family you know that doesn't have somebody in the family that had a drug problem.
I know a lot of families that nobody ended up getting hooked up on drugs.
or an alcohol problem.
Hunter addresses those problems in a new memoir.
But the honesty with which he stepped forward and talked about the problem and the hope that it gave me hope reading it. I mean, it was like, my boy's back. You know what I mean? He's... Anyway, I'm sorry to get so personal.
At the end of this thing, we've got the Super Bowl talking about Hunter Biden's honest book. This is Joe Biden's spokeshole at the press conferences. Played a clip, I think it was last week, where she's her big thing is circle back. And I described that for you and translated it for you, which is, I don't know how to lie to, I don't know how to give you a good lie to that question. So let me go figure out how I lie and not answer your question. And I'll call you with a lie tomorrow or the day after when I get to it. She says circle back all the time. Kayleigh McInerney, I don't like press spokesmen for any presidents because their whole job is to just spin and try to make their guy look fantastic and the other side look bad. They're not by nature honest people. But Kayleigh McInerney was fantastic at it as far as the what the job called for. I don't like what the job calls for, but she was great at it. Jen Psaki is especially bad, so she's got the circle back, and now she's got another strategy for her adoring media fans.
I will have to circle back on that one. That's an excellent question. I don't have any information on it in front of me. It's an excellent question. It's an excellent question. Those are excellent questions. Those are excellent questions. That's such a good question. That's a good question. This is a good question. Oh, obviously, this is a good question, which is a very good question. It's a great question. And that sounds like a great question. That's a great question. It's a great question. This is a great question. It's a great question, Katie. That's a great question. It's a great question. It is a very important question. It's a really important question. That's an important question. It's an interesting question. We all love the mailman and mailwoman, a popular and good question.
Give her time, ladies and gentlemen. She will become much better at lying with each passing day that she has to represent Joe Biden. There is something going on with the Democrats and the media. I have played clips over the past few weeks talking about the insurrection, air quotes here in the studio, at the Capitol building. And we've got Chuck Schumer calling it an erection. Anderson Cooper, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, understandably calling it an erection by accident. So something is going on with these Democrats, but it's not only the guys. They are obsessed with private parts. And so we've got this clip, and there's actually two gaffes in this. You'll hear the first one very easily, but there's a second. I'll just leave it up to you to try to catch it.
Things that were brought up by the House managers that we can expect the Trump lawyers to bring up. One of them being a First Amendment argument. What is the First Amendment argument to defend the president for its conduct? And what is the Democratic or House manager response?
Yeah, so Trump's lawyers in this proceeding are arguing that he is protected by the First Amendment. First of all, he didn't attempt to incite an insurrection as charged. And second of all, that his words are protected. The contrary point there, Steve, is that this is not really a court of criminal law. This is an impeachment proceeding. And the First Amendment, most scholars say, does not really apply.
I don't know how many of you caught the second one, but these Democrats, they have got their minds in some strange places, don't they? This one, oh, it's so sad. I brought you the story a couple of days ago of Jamie Raskin. He's the guy prosecuting Trump in the Senate, and he gave that heartbreaking story about how his daughter doesn't want to come to the Capitol anymore because she was so scared. And people were texting and calling their last wishes and all their goodbyes to their loved ones. It was quite a tear-jerking moment. I encouraged everybody to get handkerchiefs for the men and tissues for the girls. AOC was also such a sad victim of the incursion into the Capitol. She went on Gayle King, and I play this just to, well, I'm going to point out another taxpayer abuse that's really going to tick you off.
Congresswoman, I want to start with you because that day I remember it was so upsetting and so frightening watching from the privacy and safety of in my kitchen. So to hear your very terrifying account of that horrible day was, in a word, just terrifying to hear the details. And I wonder if it's triggered all sorts of things for you, because I think sometimes when you speak about it, you're reliving it again. I'm wondering what the experience has been for you.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that we've learned, especially in counseling services offered to House members, is that...
Oh, did you hear that? Again, I like to be the person. I think the American taxpayer is the unsung hero. Politicians like to take credit for things. Pharmaceutical companies aren't thanking you for all the taxpayer cash for the shots. I want to take this opportunity to thank everybody, because I don't hear anybody else doing it. Thank the U.S. taxpayer, because you are now providing grief counseling to AOC and any House member that needs it after the traumatic events of January 6th. You are paying for the grief counseling.
At telling our stories and retelling it, especially right after the events transpired, is a really important part to healing.
You gotta talk it out. Talk it out, baby.
And getting through it. And so once we tell that story, and this applies to survivors of trauma all over the country, telling that story as many times as possible and giving that account, allowing yourself to move through that emotion, allowing yourself to revisit fear and process it and then move past it is important. But yeah, there are lots of emotions. There's fear, there's anger at folks who attacked our nation's capital. There's frustration that this could have happened. But then there's also determination for us to never allow this to happen again.
Oh, that's just so great. She's working through it, people. Congratulations for AOC. She's such a survivor. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
I'm going to make it. One more segment to get to the weekend here. If you've been listening to me for the last hour and a half, you can tell I'm a little agitated today. So I need to figure out some way this weekend to calm down and rejuvenate. I'm going to drown my sorrows out at Your Pie in Gluckstadt. That is Your Pie at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. I'm going to treat myself some of their excellent food, some 10-inch brick oven-fired pizzas. I think I'm going to get an order of their cheese bread, too. That's right. They've also got salads and paninis and pastas, craft beers. They got to tell you, that's sounding pretty good right now. And they've got wine as well with gelato and other desserts. So please check out Your Pie. This is a locally owned restaurant, a veteran-owned restaurant. They have made it through the worst, and we need to support them going forward so they can recover from what we have done to them as a collective society over 2020. Anyway, it's a fantastic place. The food is great. Make sure you download their app, the Your Pie app. You'll get points and specials and all kinds of things, and you're going to want to acquire points because you're going to eat there a lot once you try it, if you have not already. Again, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway, and they are hiring. They've been looking for some help during the days, so if you've got a college student doing a lot of remote work, the flexible schedule might be a good job for them, or somebody else who's actually got time on your hands because the kids are finally back in school and you want to make a little bit of extra money going forward, Your Pie is a great place to go. So check them out, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. Tell them WYAB sent you. Okay, last little bit of insanity. And this week on the crazy train, I thought this was kind of funny. You know, in a day where we're constantly in fear for our lives, there's a couple of new fears that have popped up.
All right, Apple is warning that magnets inside its new iPhone 12 can potentially interfere with some medical devices, including pacemakers and defibrillators. Apple recommends keeping cell phones and chargers at least 6 inches from medical devices and more than a foot apart while wirelessly charging.
Holy cow, if you got a pacemaker, social distancing is a long-term strategy for you, because apparently the iPhone can just, kill you. If that doesn't, there was a report came out. I'm not going to get into the details. Don't have a whole lot of time for it. But they have discovered some of the people looking into the sex robots and the artificial intelligence that they're under. They're saying that there's a good chance that your sex robot at some point may kill you if it's ever hacked. Unassuming sex robots are equally dangerous as military AI when it comes to posing a threat to humanity's existence. So there's that. I got time to get into this. The story out of Disney. Oh, wasn't this a horrible one? Disney fired one of its actors from The Mandalorian. Let me see if you can guess which one. One of them, Mandalorian star Pedro Pascal, made a now-deleted Instagram post in November likening Trump supporters losing the 2020 election to the Confederacy and the Nazi Germany losing in 1865 and 1945. Then the other Mandalorian actress, Gina Carano, made a comparison to the persecution of the Jews and how the Nazis created this group. She says Jews were beaten in the streets not by Nazi soldiers but by their neighbors, even by children, because history is edited. Most people today don't realize that to get to the point where Nazi soldiers could easily round up thousands of Jews, the government first made their own neighbors hate them simply for being Jews. How is that any different from hating someone for their political views? She previously, I love this too, I'm going to have to check out this woman and become a fan of this Gina Carano. She previously drew criticism for mocking pronouns, putting boop, bop, beep in her Twitter bio as her preferred genders. I love that. Anyway, so one of them made a liberal comment invoking the Nazis. One of them made a conservative comment invoking the Nazis. Guess which one got fired? That's right. The conservative Gina Carano is not currently employed by Lucasfilm, and there are no plans for her to be in the future. What a shock. Okay, this is the big payoff here. I got to tell you, I got a chuckle from this story.
Take a look at these images. They're the front and back of a special coin that officers had to celebrate shooting a man in the groin during a protest in 2017. ABC 15 investigator Dave Biskobing not only getting pictures of that coin, he also discovered the chief knew about it and no one was disciplined or even investigated.
Here it comes.
And a guy just got shot with a rubber bullet.
The video went viral, and the officers celebrated the shot with a challenge coin. We obtained a graphic image of the front saying good night, left nut. And we got a picture of the back of the actual coin. It has the date and says, make America great again, one nut at a time.
Good night, left nut. This was a challenge coin that the cops were trading off. I got to tell you, that's all I got. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard.